This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Allah سبحانه وتعالى bless all of us for taking a little time out to remind ourselves of why we are here, what we are doing. Secondly, this month of Ramadan that is here, and we're going to have a few Ramadans in our lives, inshallah, bismillah. Some of us will end up with about 60 Ramadans in our lives, some of us with about 50, some with 40, some with less, some with more. But if you actually start looking at the people who are around us, and our elders, some of our uncles, some of our fathers, our mothers, our aunties, and you start to think that fasting is supposed to be a month where people change. There are certain things that change people. Allah has placed those things in our deen. And those things that change us for our better, He's made it fard for us. He's made it absolutely fard for us. He's made it obligatory for us to come again and again around those things. The shahada, la ilaha illallah, the renewal of the shahada. Every time saying that, no Allah, you are the one, you are the one. You're the only one. To say that, to renew faith, is an act of reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, various ahadith, whoever will say la ilaha illallah, this many times they will get this. Whoever will say la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahu al-mulku, wa lahu al-hamdu, yuhyi wa yumeetu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. 10 times after Fajr, 10 times after Maghrib, they will get 10 good deeds, they will get 10 sins forgiven, they will get this much thing, and they will be saved from the shaitan, and so on and so forth. The renewal of faith has been made fard upon us, that we continuously renew our faith. We renew our faith with words that are attached to the shahada. Everything that we say in the deen is attached to the shahada. So for example, when a person will give the adhan, it's attached to the shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When a person has done his wudu and they finish, they will say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. This is again renewal of shahada. All these things Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has placed upon the shahada, upon our witness that no Allah, you are the one. Why are we doing this? The reason why we're doing this is because whatever our surroundings are, and whatever our environment is, it will have an effect on a person. There is no doubt it will have an effect on a person. You go one day to the bazaar and you see something wrong, you're going to say Astaghfirullah al-Azim. You go to the bazaar and the marketplace, you're not used to go to the marketplace, and you see all these people hustling, bustling, wherever, you say, what are these people doing? What's wrong with these people? La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la. And you get your ajr for saying that in the marketplace. What it changes, if you become a businessman, if you become a market stall holder, and you stand there, the first day, mashallah, the brothers, mashallah, he's on his deen, he's praying his salah, Allah. But then when they're every day, they're in the hustling, bustling of every day, people walking past, and how much is this? This is 50 pounds, how much is this? This is 30 pounds, how much is this? This is 5 pounds, and you know, I can give you less this and less that, and da, 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 da. Every day when they're doing this, and days after days, and months after months, and years after years, when they become a part and accustomed to that, they're not the same people that they were years back. Don't tell me they're the same people. A woman who's in a house, and she got newly married, and she came into this house, she's a different individual. But I give her 10 years, give her 15 years, she becomes part and parcel, package, furniture of that house. She's part of that house. These women, if they stay in four walls, after a long period of time, a lot of them in their 40s and 50s, you'll see them, they're stressed out. They've got depression. A lot of our women who don't go out, you know, going out is a sunnah, guys. Going out with your husband is a sunnah. Why is it? A sunnah. If you look in the ahadith, you will see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came out. And he used to go out with his wives. He used to take them out for strolls, for walks. This is our Prophet, the greatest of muftis. The best of muftis you can find, he's walking, he's going out with a stroll with his wives. And once he was with two of his wives. One of his companions saw him, it was getting slightly dark by the time he was coming back. So one of his companions saw him, and two companions saw them. And before they could say anything, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "It is only me and my wife so-and-so and my wife so-and-so." And they said, "Messenger of Allah, we wouldn't think of anything about you that you would be with another woman." He said, "No." He said, "Ittaqu mawadi'a tuham." Said, "Stay away from places where you can get blamed. I could have got blamed easily. I could have got accused of being with another woman because it's getting dark. You can't see who it is. And I've said it straight away to you before the waswasa comes to you. I've said it straight away to you. Why? So that bad rumor and gossip doesn't spread." But what do we understand from this hadith? This hadith, we understand Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go out for walks. There was no reason for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go at this time. It's only for a walk with his two wives. A walk and come back. How many of us have got that sunnah in our lives? That you actually go out your door with your wife, let's go for a walk. Sometimes you see brothers, mashallah, they're walking with their wives, and the wife is 10 strides behind, and the man is 10 strides ahead. But they're still talking to each other. "Hey, you will." And she said, "Yes, yes, I'm." And they're still talking to each other. Yep, not with that kind of stroll, a stroll that were there together. Anyway, going back to my point is that some of our women, they're getting stressed at this time. Why? Because if you find an environment and you don't make it according to the sunnah, you will be affected by it. If you make your own environment not according to sunnah, you will be affected by it. The sunnah is yes, you should go to the marketplace. I'm not saying don't go to the marketplace. I'm not saying don't be a businessman. I'm not saying don't be a market, a stall holder. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying to women not to stay home. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying balance it. Keep the balance. The balance is you go to the marketplace and you come to the masjid. The balance is you stay home and when you need to, you go out. The balance is that you follow the sunnah in its entirety. So one of the sunnahs is about around the shahada, I was saying. That the shahada needs to be renewed. That's what one sunnah. Renewal of the shahada all the time. Whether it's in the house, whether it's outside, by saying these certain words that Rasulullah has told us to say. The next thing that Allah has made obligatory upon us is the sunnah and the fard of what? Of connecting to Allah Azza wa Jal 5 times a day. Allah says, get up. When does He say get up? He says to us when sleep is very heavy, He says get up and pray Fajr. When it's hot in midday, or when we've had, we've got the morning on the one side, we've got the evening on the one side, Allah says, now get up for me and pray in the middle of your work. When it's busy at Asr time, Allah says, get up and pray for me now. When it's dusk and we're now going home and probably going to start relaxing, Allah says, pray for me now. And when it's dark, before we go to sleep again, sleep is over us, Allah says, pray for me now. Why does Allah do that? Because Allah has spread these 5 times around the whole of the day so that our environment does not take over us. What do I mean by that? All these things I'm saying, environment should not take over. Because if you are in the... Brothers, listen to me very carefully. Every person at every moment of their life is in dhikr. Every person, every moment of their life, they're in dhikr. Dhikr is remembrance. Everyone's in a dhikr. But the problem is, some people, their dhikr is £1, £1, £2, £3, £4, £5, £10, £20, £50, £150, £200, £300, £500, £1,000, £500, bank balance goes higher. That's their dhikr. The dhikr is money. Some people, their dhikr is shop. Got a shop, open the shop, 6 o'clock in the morning, open the shop. And then sit in the shop, customer, please, customer. And the customer goes, please buy that, go on, buy that. And then money comes in the till, it's like, yes, how much have I got? The whole dhikr is around the shop. There's some women, they're in dhikr of what? Curry powder, jeera powder, need to get clothes, onions, oh, I forgot, I need to go back to Morrison's again. Morrison's. That's dhikr. What is that? It's dhikr. Dhikr means remembrance. You can be in the dhikr of your environment, you can be in the dhikr of what's around you, or you can be in the dhikr of Allah. up. And by Allah, everybody's in dhikr. Some kid is saying, you know, I want Thomas the Tank Engine. Another kid said, I want Battle Force 5. Another one said, I want Lego Ninjago. Another one is saying, I want to watch this movie. Another one said, I want to go to cinema. Dhikr, 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 dhikr. All in dhikr. Another one saying, I want to go with my friend and play with him. Another one is Facebook. It's a dhikr of Facebook. Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. Ding, 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 ding. If I'm ding, ding, ha, ha, new dhikr. Who's just called me? Who sent me this message? Dhikr of Twitter, dhikr of internet, dhikr of these sites. Dhikr. They're all in dhikr. Everybody's in dhikr. Don't tell me no one's not in dhikr. The cab driver who's sitting there driving his cab, he's in dhikr. When they're going to get his next customer, how much is made for the day, how much petrol is given out, dhikr. What signpost is there, dhikr. All this is going on. Dhikr is there. And every single one of us is in dhikr. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, that don't forget ma'ad, ma'ad. The ma'ad is to return back to Allah. And that's the most important thing in our life. So Allah said, break that. To break that, Allah said, 5 different paths of the day. When you wake up, I come first. When you go to sleep, before you go to sleep, I'm the last one in your head. When you're in the middle of the day, and you're in the middle of business, whatever it is, I come in there, don't forget me. And when you're in the middle of the marketplace, asr time, busy, everyone's running, rushing about, I come there as well, and I come on maghrib time. I am the one. Allah said, but aqim is salat al-dhikri. That you establish prayers to remember me. Because I'm everything for you. I am everything. Who gave you the job? I gave you the job. Who gave you the family? I gave you family. Who gave you the cooker? I gave you that. Who gives you the money to go to the supermarket? I gave you that. Who gave you the children? I gave you that. Who gave you health? I gave you that. Who gave you your energy inside your body? I gave you that. Who gave you ambition? I gave you that. Who gave you the will to do something? I gave you that. I give you all of these things. So I'm the one. La ilaha illa ana fa'budni. I'm the only one. You have no one else except for me. If you look at anything, it all comes back to me. Wa ila Allahi turja'ul umur. All affairs return back to me. Everything is connected to me. There's nothing that you have. Son of Adam, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. What do you have? What do you actually have? You never even had a name. Son of Adam, you never had a name. هَلْ أَتَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْلِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. You wasn't even mentioned. No one even knew who you were. Whether you were a thing. They didn't even know what you were. Does anyone know the children that are going to be born in the next year? Anyone tell me what their names are? Anyone tell me? And don't tell me the next Ishaq and the next Muhammad to be born and the next, you know, Fulan Ilyas or his name is Ahmad or whatever. Yeah? Tell me who they are. You don't know who they are. So there was a time 60 years ago, 70 years ago, 80 years ago, no one knew me, no one knew you. Allah is saying, so when I put you into existence, you remember me. I come first in your life. Because the akhirah is going to be all about Allah. So Allah said that about salah. Then comes soul, fasting. Fasting is what? Fasting again is to break the environment. The remembrance of the environment, to break that. How? How do you break the environment? By Allah, we become people who in our houses, in our homes, we get into certain routines, that the routines make us comfortable. Once you're in a routine, and you're set in your routine, it's hard to get out. It's an addiction. Your house is a routine. Your bedroom is a routine. Your bathroom is a routine. All that is routine. So Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't want us to become too comfortable in this world. Because when you become too comfortable in this world, you've moved away from Allah's dhikr and you're in your own dhikr, in your own remembrance, in your own world. That's what you're in. All of us are sucked in this. All of us. Doesn't matter. I'm not talking about haram things, brothers. Sisters, I'm not talking about things that are haram. I'm not saying addiction of alcohol. I'm not saying addiction of lottery. I'm not saying that. I'm saying addiction of being comfortable in this life. Allah wants to break that. Because unless you break it now and again, you're not going to remember why you're here. You won't remember why you're here. I'll give you an example. The guy goes into the toilet. Yeah? One of us goes into the toilet. So you close the door behind. Right? When you first walk in the toilet, you probably smell the perfume that's around, you smell whatever it is, yeah? Then you put the toilet seat up, then you sit down, you do number one, and then comes the number two. Rumble in the jungle. It's coming out. Now when it comes out,
The guy, he takes it out. And once he comes out, he says, "Oh, that smells bad." It stinks. The guy's own thing stinks. So he said, "Oh, is that how bad I smell? Oh." But then he's there. He's not going to run out straight away, is he? He's sitting there because number two's coming again a second time. And he's coming a third time. And he's waiting to see if there's anything else left in there for a fourth time. By that time, the guy's sitting there comfortably without going, "Oh," without doing that. He's just like... He's breathing normally. Yes or no, brothers? Come on. He's breathing normally. He can't smell anything. He hasn't flushed the toilet yet. But he can't smell anything. He's got his 2, 4, whatever, 5 down there. It's stinking like anything. So he can't smell it. So he washes himself. He's just stinger. He then gets up. He still can't smell anything. He washes his hand. He still can't smell anything. And when he comes to the door, he opens the door. He goes out. He still can't smell anything. And I forgot to flush the toilet. I forgot. So he walks back in. Oh! Ooh! That smells bad. It's true or not, brothers? Come on. True or not? When you're in there for 10 minutes, you couldn't smell anything. And when you come out and then you walk straight back in, then you smell, "Oh my God, I was sitting in there in that smell. I couldn't even know what that smell was." La ilaha illallah. You know, some of us are in the thick of the dunya and we can't smell how bad it is. You get comfortable in your life and the dunya is around you. And the shaitan is every day playing with you. Shaitan is taking this time away from you, that time away from you. Shaitan has got you gossiping without you, any fayda, any benefit of the akhirah. Shaitan has got me with me, you know, just chatting with friends, sitting all day in coffee shop and drinking and talking. Shaitan has got me just going and, you know, just sitting down, watching my TV, my sofa, my comfort, my zone, my all that. Shaitan has got me in all of that. And I don't know how bad it smells till death comes to me. If death comes to me, then I look at the world and the way the guy looks back into the toilet and he walks back in and he smells really bad. That's how people smell this dunya when they leave the earth. This dunya stinks. I'm not just saying this, brothers, honestly. This dunya smells. The one who has tasted the sweetness of the akhirah, this dunya has no sweetness at all. No sweetness at all. So what am I saying? Allah is breaking our system. Allah is saying, you know, your comfort zone of you eating certain foods, you like this food, you like to eat at certain times, you break it. And you break it for a good 30 days. And not only that, Allah has also said, according to the sunnah, that after Ramadan we break it now and again with a nafil fasting. Why is Allah doing this to us? Why Allah is doing this to us is because Allah wants the dhikr to change from the dhikr of the most beloved thing to us to the dhikr of Allah. There's two things that are beloved to the human being. All human beings, one of these two, they're going to be caught in it. And some caught in both of them. Some caught in deep and some light. And I'm telling you this is an absolute truth. If you look at all people, you know, when they grow up, adults we're talking about, they're caught in these two things. Number one is, they're caught in the shahwatul batn. It's the desire of the stomach. Every person likes good food. Every person likes nice food. You like to smell the nice food, taste the nice food, and have loads of that nice food inside your stomach. Every person likes that. To some degree, some more than others. You know, some people, they can't help themselves, you know. Food is too much for them. Some people, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, they eat so much, they eat a lot out of Ramadan, and when Ramadan comes, they eat extra. I mean, I don't understand that. They eat a lot outside Ramadan, and when Ramadan comes, they top up. It's overfilled. I don't understand that. Ramadan is a time when the body is supposed to feel weak. Yes, the body is supposed to feel weak. The stomach is supposed to feel constrained. If at this time, I'm saying this to you in the masjid, if at this time of Asr, you are sitting here, if you don't feel hunger, then your fast is a waste. I'm telling you this right now. If you don't feel slightly thirsty, if you don't feel slightly hunger right now, your fast, I'm sorry to say, but it's a waste. Why? Because Allah intended to make us hungry. But why? You say, why? Why does Allah want to punish me? No, it's not a punishment. Allah knows how your body works. So your body, that stomach there, when it's full, then you can get up to things. When it's empty, you can't get up to anything. At the same time, the only thinking, okay, fine. Normally outside Ramadan, imagine somebody's really hungry outside Ramadan. What are they going to do? I'm hungry, man, starving, man. Let's get a bite. You go straight away, go and get some food. Go to the fridge. Go to the table. Go to the chicken and chips place. Sorry, guys, I'm making you hungry, yeah? Right. Go to the chicken and chips place. Go and buy something straight away, put it straight away inside. That's it, khalas. When you got hungry, you did zikr of food, and you went and you ate plenty of it, and as you're eating it, mashallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, tabarakallah. Yeah? Very happy, zikr of food, zikr of food. In Ramadan, you get hungry, you think of food, you can't. Why? You can't go to the chicken and chip shop. You can't go to the fridge, and even if you do, you can just stare at it. You can just hope, you can wish, you can pick up a leaflet, Barbecue Express. I like what you've got inside there. For if that, but why can't you eat it? Why? Why can't you eat that food right now? Because Allah, the zikr of what? Allah. Allah's replacing the zikr of food with the zikr of Mawlad Master. With the makhluq, the creation, with the khaliq, the creator. With the marzuqun bihi, with the provided, with to the razzaq, the provider. To the one, to what? To the marbub, from the marbub, the one that is Allah gives, sustains, to the Rabb, the sustainer. That's what Allah is doing, breaking the dhikr. And it's a big thing to break inside, you know, to break that shahwa of eating, to break it. And second thing is what? When you grow up, we have a necessity that between our thighs. Another thing between our thighs, it gets us in a lot of trouble. If you're doing a halal way, alhamdulillah, you get married and you're doing a halal way, alhamdulillah. Even then, it doesn't mean that there's no limit to what you do. Even then, right, try and control it. But if it's haram, obviously, it's a disaster, it will take you to Jahannam. So that thing between the thighs, to control that, Allah said, this is fasting, I want you to break that. I don't want you to think about women. For the men, I don't want you to think about women. For the women, I don't want you to think about men. Why? The dhikr of your husband, the dhikr of your wife, or if you're not married, the dhikr of girls and the dhikr of boys for the girls, I'm not saying this to you boys, right? The dhikr of boys to the girls, I'm saying, to the dhikr of girls to the boys, I'm saying, Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to break that, because that's another dhikr that stops you from the dhikr of Allah. You're always thinking about them. You always want to know what they're saying, what they're thinking, what they're doing. Is it love? Allah wants to replace what? He wants to replace the love in the heart of people with the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he tells you, don't do that. Don't do that for me for 30 days. In the whole of the days, don't do it. So when a person does that, and a person going through Ramadan, Allahu Akbar, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us, you know, you go to, let's say one of us goes to the doctors. Okay, the guy basically, he's not well. He says, doctor. Doctor says, yeah, what's wrong with you? He said, you know, I've got this problem. So the doctor says, okay, what's your diet like? So the guy says, look, I eat this. I say, no, you can't eat no more butter. You can't have no more fried stuff. You can't have the fatty food stuff. No, that's finished for you now. If you have that, it's going to get worse. So the guy goes, okay. So doctor, what do I do? He says, make sure you don't eat these foods. And here, the doctor scribbles something. Yeah, you know, doctors, I love doctors. You can never read their writing. The doctors, if you're a doctor here, I love you. Because you can never read their writing. I don't know how the pharmacists read their writing. But anyway, the guy scribbles something on there. And he says, take this to the pharmacist, and he's going to give you some pills, some medicine. You take that 3 times a day. So the doctor has said two things. Number one, the doctor has said, for the patient or the sick person to stop eating certain foods. There's a stop element to it. And another one, he said, is to take certain things inside the body. How many things has the doctor said, brothers?
Two things.
Most people in Ramadan, they only follow one prescription of Allah, one order of Allah. They don't take the main prescription. They don't take the main prescription. There's two things Allah said. Allah said, my servant, don't eat, don't drink, don't fulfill your desires with your wife or to the woman. Allah says to you, with your husband, don't fulfill that during Ramadan. Fine. That's like the doctor saying to the patient, that old patient, don't eat fatty foods, don't eat the butter, don't eat fried stuff, don't do this. That's the doctor saying that. Fine. We've all accepted that. Alhamdulillah. Then the doctor said, when he scribbled something and he gave it, he said, take these pills. So the guy goes, he gets the pills. He comes home. He takes the pill the first day. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Second day he takes it. Third day he says, alhamdulillah, I've stopped my ghee, I've stopped my butter, I've stopped my things. You know, I'm feeling slightly better. I don't need to take that many pills. The doctor told me to take it for 30 days. No, it's alright. I'll just take it easy now. I don't take it three times a day. I'll take it one time a day. So now he takes it one time a day, his pills. Sometimes he doesn't take it throughout the whole of the day. Sometimes he takes it two times, sometimes no time at all. That's it. And he finishes 30 days. He goes back to the doctor. The doctor, something wrong with me. The doctor says, what? Something wrong with you? Say, then doctor, something wrong with me. I stopped all the ghee and the butter and the fried thing. I stopped all of that. The doctor says, okay, did you take my pills? See, I didn't take your pills. Of course I took your pills. He said, did you take it exactly like I told you to take it? He says, no, not exactly. Well, I don't need to do that, doctor, do I? And the doctor's going to say, listen, man, get on your bike and hop off. You want to come for the prescription? Take the full thing. For 30 days, I told you three times a day, whatever, you take those pills. And you're going to get better with the permission of Allah. Don't come back to me. But after not taking the Greek pills, you took one part of my advice. My second part of my advice you never took. Subhanallah al-Azim, Muslims come into Ramadan and they listen to the first part of Allah's advice. The first part of Allah's advice is that don't eat, don't drink, and don't fulfill your desires with your spouse. Fine, they've accepted that. Then Allah said, here's your prescription. This is your prescription. Your prescription is شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Your prescription for Ramadan is the Quran. You take my Quran and you recite my Quran over and over again. You do tilawah of mine. This is your prescription for you. Your prescription is وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. Night time you come and you stand behind the imam and you do your taraweeh and you listen to the Quran. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Your prescription is that you show me thanks throughout the day. How thankful I am that I gave you food outside Ramadan. And I gave you water every day without you having to ask me for it. How thankful you should be to me that I've given you such delicious foods. How thankful you should be to me that I've given you hidayah of iman. How thankful you should be to me that you are in Ramadan now, and when you come to the time of iftar, you're going to raise your hands to me, and I'm going to accept whatever dua you make to me. You should be thankful to me for that. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Your another prescription for Ramadan, another pill is that at the time of iftar, at the time of suhoor, you make dua to me. Make dua, make a lot of calling, put your hands up, ask me for things. Because I will give you two things that you'll be happy with. One is your iftar, when it comes, you'll be happy with that. And second is you're going to be happy the time you come and meet me. You're going to be happy with both of these things. Allah has given us all these prescriptions. And Allah said what? Daily you do this. For the whole 30 days. Now the guy comes in Ramadan, at the first day of Taraweeh, mashallah, the whole mosque is packed. Second day, packed. Third day, getting less. Fourth day, getting less. By the first week, you see the people who will stay there for Ramadan, a lot of them have gone. Then you're going to see the numbers will go up, when it's 21st of Ramadan, the numbers will go back up. And then they'll dwindle slightly, like the stock exchanges. And it's going to go woof through the roof. On the 27th night, mashallah, you can't close the doors of the mosque because you're going to get stormed. There's going to be a stampede in the mosque. Right? And then, back down again. 29th comes, Quran, Khatam. If there's some mosque with 29th Khatam, then it's going to go up again for the Khatam, mashallah, need that dua. And then when it's the 30th, straight back down. And when it's Eid day, hey man, we're back to the normal environment, brother. Everybody take it easy. Go back to your dhikr of your dunya, dhikr of your shahawat, dhikr of your remembrance. All your other dhikr, do all of that. No. Brothers, this is not what Ramadan was for. Ramadan was for these 20 days of fasting, it's a preparation for the last 10 days. These first 20 nights is a preparation for the last 10 nights. Allah has given us Laylatul Qadr and is coming. So Allah is preparing us. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah is preparing us. For what? He's preparing us to try and make sure that on the night of Qadr we are awake, we are making Allah's ibadah, and we've spiritually pumped ourselves up for 20 nights, and we're ready on that night of Qadr to get the best out of Laylatul Qadr. Because the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they complained to the Messenger of Allah. They said, Messenger of Allah, they said, the people before us, they had really long lives. Some of them lived up to 300 years. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, according to Quran, lived 950 years. 950 years. So they said, how are we supposed to compete with 60 to 70 years of a life? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who then got the order of Laylatul Qadr. One of these nights, the last 10 nights, is going to be Laylatul Qadr. And that night of Qadr is worth more than 83 years and 4 months of anyone's life. 83 years and 4 months. خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. 1,000 months, if you count it, it's 83 years and 4 months. Now imagine, I normally give this example. Imagine, you come to this masjid. And I make you stand in a massive circle. Right? All of you standing in a massive circle. In the middle, I put it there, you can see a heap of £1 coins. £1 and £2 coins. Yep, they're in the right in the middle of the masjid. And there's a massive hill of £1 and £2 coins. And each one of you, I can put a spade into your hand. I say, here's a spade in your hand, here's a spade in your hand, here's a spade in your hand. Right, when I say get ready, you're going to go with that spade up to that heap. And you're going to take whatever you can for only 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, I say, whatever you took back to your spot, that's yours. Now tell me which one of us would stop and say, in the 30 minutes, I'll do quick 1 minute, 2 minutes, and then after that, I'll take a rest. Which one of us, when you got a chance to take as many coins as you want with your spade, which one of us will rest during that period? None of us will rest. Guys, anyone put their hands up, you're going to rest me and say, no, I don't need that money. Mashallah. Everybody, me including me, I can't put my hand up. I'll go in there as well. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, your whole year has gone by. And when I say ready and Ramadan comes in, these 30 days and nights of giving you, everything I multiply by 70. I multiply by 70. Guys, say Subhanallah. Now, in outside Ramadan, for Subhanallah, you get one tree in Jannah. And that tree is so vast that the fastest horseman can try and go to cross the shadow. It will take him 500 years to cross the shadow, according to one narration. And you said that in Ramadan, Allah has given you 70 of those trees just by saying Subhanallah once. What do you say? What do you say? That's, mashallah, 210 trees already. In your plot of Jannah, you've got 210 trees. Say Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
280 trees. Say Subhanallah. 350 trees, mashallah. 5 Subhanallah. And it's 350 trees outside Ramadan. Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. I would get 5 trees. In Ramadan, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. That's 350 trees in Jannah. Outside Ramadan, just say this, Alif Lam Mim. Say that.
Alif Lam Mim.
Right. Outside Ramadan, all of you get 30 rewards. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, 10 for Alif, 10 for Lam, 10 for Mim. But when we say that inside Ramadan, Allah Azza wa Jal has made these 30 rewards into what? How much? 210 rewards. 30 times 70. Yep, 30 times 70. 210 rewards.
2,000.
Sorry, what was it? 2,000. Yes, that's right. 2,100. Thank you, Jazakumullah khair. Thank you, Matt. You're going to be hungry. 2,100. Jazakumullah khair, brother. Now imagine, Alif Lam Mim is 2,100. Dhalika will be another 2,100. Outside Ramadan, you get 60 rewards by the time you reach Dhalika. Inside Ramadan, you've gone to 4,200 rewards. From Alif Lam Mim to Dhalika. What is that? That's nothing. Now tell me, brothers, when you know this and you start calculating in your head, I'll tell you one thing to do here. Try and get a calculator or a computer and start to compute just Surah Fatiha. Just Surah Fatiha, you see it will go off the mark of the calculator. You won't be able to keep the space inside of how much reward Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. Subhanallah Azim, or for the beginning of Surah Baqarah. Now imagine the whole Quran. None of us will live to ever read 70 Qurans in 1 year. Who's ever done 70 Qurans in 1 year? Put your hands up. None of us. Allah says, every year I give you 70 Qur'ans by completing one Qur'an in Ramadan, you get the reward of 70 Qur'ans outside Ramadan. 70 Qur'ans, my brothers. Subhanallah Azim, and when Laylatul Qadr comes, it is lottery time. It's the biggest bonus you can get. Allah Azza wa Jal is giving us whatever you do on that night, Allah times it by 8, as if you did that same act for 83 years and 4 months of your life. I'm going to tell you, just to wrap up the whole of the talk. Allah Azza wa Jal is doing all this for to us. Why? Because He wants our dhikr of everything else to turn into the dhikrullah. And all these things He's told us. Why? Allah Azza wa Jal wants to change our life, our mind, our heart, our bodies. He wants to change all of that. On the last 10 nights, brothers, just do this for me. Every night, put, you know, the last 10 nights are going to come. In another 10 nights time, you're going to get the last 10 nights. I'm going to tell you what to do. I want you to make yourself a package you're going to do every single night for the last 10 nights. Please don't miss out on this, brothers. Because this package, if you can repeat it for 10 nights or 9 nights, according to whether Ramadan is 29 nights this year, or whether Ramadan is 30 nights, you are guaranteed Laylatul Qadr for these actions. I want you to make sure that your package is at least some portion of the Qur'an. If you do one juz of the Qur'an in a night of Laylatul Qadr, one juz, that's equivalent to, you know how many juz? It's like reading one juz for every night of your life for 83 years and 4 months. You know what that is? That's 12 khatams, 12 completion of the year for every year of your life. You know, you need one juz on Laylatul Qadr for every year, for 83. Can someone do the calculation right now? 83 times 12 on your phone. Someone, while I'm still talking, take your phone out. 83 times 12. Just do that calculation.
996.
If you do one juz every night of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, you have completed 996 khatams of the Quran. Why? Because that juz is multiplied by every night, which would mean that every month you finish one khatam, right? It would mean, or maybe that's actually more than that, you know, because it's actually a khayrun min al-fishar, and it's got 70 on top as well. Allahu alam, I don't know how many is that, but it's more than 1,000 khatams of your life. So that's one thing. Another thing is, just put a few subhanallahs. One good one I want you to put together is, and I want you to learn this, and I want you to say this in Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is Sahih Hadith Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw one of his wives after Fajr, so she was sitting down. and she was remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he went away, Rasulullah went away, he did his actions for the day, and he came back by Dhuhr time. And he saw his same wife, I think it was Juwayriya radiallahu anha or some other wife, she was sitting there, the same wife sitting there from Fajr to Dhuhr. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why are you sitting here? She said, I'm remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. He said, have you remembered Allah since Fajr till Dhuhr? She said, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, I have said three phrases. I said one phrase, one complete phrase, three times over, and I've got the same reward as you sitting from Fajr till Dhuhr. What's that? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته سبحان الله وبحمده. All praise, Allah SWT is free from all blame, and in His praise. عدد خلقه. I say سبحان الله, and I praise Him how much? I praise Him to the count of His creation. The number of His creation is out there. That's how many times I say Alhamdulillah to Allah. That's how many times I say Subhanallah to Allah. عَدَدَ خَلْقِهِ وَرِضَى نَفْسِهِ. I say Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah till Allah is pleased with me saying this. Till He's content. وَزِنَةَ عَرْشِهِ. I say Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah to the equivalent of the weight of Allah's arsh, His throne. وَمِدَادِ كَلِمَاتِ. I say subhanAllah and alhamdulillah to the extent of, if you were to take every tree of this world, every ocean of this world, you turn the ocean into ink, you turn the trees into pens, and you start to write Allah's praise, the ink will dry, the pens will finish, but Allah Azza wa Jal, His praise will never finish. That much extent I say subhanAllah, I say alhamdulillah to Allah. Say with me, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. Last time. سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. You have now got the reward of what? Of from Fajr to Dhuhr. If somebody sat here and did Allah's dhikr, you got that reward right now. And you got 70 times that because you're in Ramadan. That's like 35 days of Allah's dhikr. 35 days of Allah's dhikr in less than 35 seconds. Now add that to your Laylatul Qadr. Then I want you to add your tahajjud, 8 rakats. Do your tahajjud, qiyamul layl, 8 rakats. Add that into Laylatul Qadr. And then add a sadaqah. Sadaqah. I want you to take £100 out of your account. And honestly speaking, there's brothers I've told them every year to do this. And I want you to do this. Laylatul Qadr is going to be in one of the last 10 nights of this Ramadan. If you can take £100 out, take £100 out. If you can take £200, take £200 out. Whatever you can afford, take it out. If you can afford £1,000, take £1,000 out. What you then do is, you divide the £100 into 10 parts. You say £10 every night when you come to the masjid for Taraweeh, you put £10 in the box. Don't forget this. And the next night you do it. If it's £200, you put £20 every night. If it's £1,000, you put £100, whatever it is, you divide. You have guaranteed yourself of giving sadaqah on the night of Qadr. You know what that means? That means £10 first times 70 because it's in Ramadan. Then it's £10 because Allah said in the Holy Quran, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَمْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلٍ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. Allah said it 700 times according to the Quran. So first times it by 70, times it by 700. Yeah? And on top of that, times it by every night for 83 years and 4 months. That £10, you know how much that's going to be worth, brothers, in the next life? You cannot calculate it, I'll be honest with you. So I want you to do that, these four things I've said. You will do some dhikr, some salah, some tilawah, and some sadaqah. Four things I've said every night. Can anyone tell me whether, you know, how long it's going to take you to do this? She said, how long? You know the subhanAllah wa bihamdi I said? It's a few seconds. When I said tilawah one juz, it'll take you about half an hour to about 45, maybe maximum 1 hour. If you're really slow, it'll take you 1 hour. Your qiyamul layl will take you what? Between 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. Let's say you put that together with your tilawah, it's probably roughly just around the hour. And to put your sadaqah will take you 10 seconds, not even 10 seconds, maybe 2 seconds to put your sadaqah inside there. I'm asking you to give up 1 hour to about 1 hour, 15 minutes of every night for the last 10 nights, and you will be one of the richest people in the next life. Jazakumullahu khair, wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. I'll see you tomorrow evening, inshallah.
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادك حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري.